welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and me, Kiran Kapoor. Charles, you've been very interested in the appointment of a new head of John Lewis.
Well, I am, and it is part of an ongoing theme of looking for opportunities. And one of those opportunities is improved customer service. There are constant complaints these days about the lack of customer service, the long waits on telephone lines, the appalling levels of competence on chats, the automation of chat, which is still in its infancy. The move to take the senior job at John Lewis with someone coming from, of all places, Tesco's, is an interesting one for discussion. John Lewis has a very small market share, and it's currently at the moment is losing market share to the other position in that marketplace, which is Marks and Spencer's. And if you're in the UK, then you know them fairly well. They're both high-end retailers. They both had a reputation for service, and they sell fairly good quality merchandise. John Lewis, over the last few years, has lost its way in various ways, and still probably the argument is still to be agreed as to why it did. But one of those aspects was it started to employ standard selling tactics in sales with discounts, and moved itself away from the retailing world where it was basically king. I mean, it's the only department store still standing, and people enjoyed driving long distances to go to John Lewis's because the stores were fun. They employed someone who came from a non-retailing background, who decided that about 50% of its turnover was going to be from non-retailing activities by 2030, and that failed dramatically. So they need to move back to their home ground. And one of the things that Tesco's did very well was introduce a loyalty card, the club card. And the person who's taking over at John Lewis's is one of the people who helped to introduce that. So that could be quite an interesting challenge. And I think it just highlights the important aspects of securing your customer base, making sure that your customer is happy and is repeating purchasing on a regular basis. And that way, I think, lies longevity and what we now call sustainability.
It's interesting that you referred to Marks and Spencer's as being the other gold standard because, of course, not that long ago, we could have been having an Opinionated Marketers going, what the heck has happened at Marks and Spencer's? Their clothing is appalling. It's all over the place. You walk into a retail store, it's a mess. They were becoming just a major food retailer and nothing else. And food is very definitely Marks and Spencer's jewel in its crown. Now, and more recently, Marks and Spencer's has turned itself around, but it's been a long haul to get itself back to a position where people didn't just go, oh, it's Marks and Spencer's, and went to, actually, I go to Marks and Spencer's. I mean, I started as a student, I worked at Marks and Spencer's, and you would have customers that would tell you very proudly that they were Marks and Spencer's from skin out, because it was famous for its underwear and its outerwear and its shoes. And then it did very much lose its way because it stopped concentrating on the customers that it would. It chased the youth market and ignored the customers who actually had the money, who had grown up with Marks and Spencer's and who saw it as somewhere to go for good quality items. So it is interesting that they turned it around.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we have had a conversation in the archives of Opinionated Marketers about the fact that when you would look at the latest fashion range from Marks and Spencer's a few years ago, it was aimed at the young marketplace. Yet if you stood in the store and looked down from, say, the steps going upstairs, you would see a sea of white hair. And quite frankly, it ignored its customer base. And the people, interestingly, who had most of the money at that particular time as well. They really were in the middle of nowhere. I think they have changed in several ways, one of which was biting a very hard bullet, which was the issue of home deliveries by a joint venture with Ocado, which is still only just about turning around. But it does mean that you can order Marks and Spencer's food. And Waitrose, who was the original partner with Ocado, lost that contract to Marks and Spencer's. Customer service has always been an important part of that, and the element of introducing more elements of customer service in their clothing stores has been, I think, one of the things about the turnaround, as well as the merchandise. there were times when you could walk in there and there was hardly anybody you could find, because that was the way of saving money. That's not the way to actually enhance your customer reputation. And I think that's true for all retailers, whether it happens to be online or offline. The level of customer service is a major retention of customer. If it's a pleasant experience to buy something, you will go back and buy more from them. And I think that's something that everybody should remember.
I think that's a good point. The only other way you can differentiate yourselves, I don't think Primark would ever be known for its customer service, but on the other hand, it has a definite niche in the marketplace. I say that as somebody who would walk into a Primark store and then walk out again, because I'm very much not their target market, but they clearly have an incredibly profitable target market. So it is very much aiming at the right customer at the right place. And what we've both said about John Lewis and Marks and Spencer's was they forgot or ignored who their major customer were. They did, in fact, what British Airways did, which was get a bit complacent about, oh, there will always be people that shop with us, as British Airways used to say, well, there'll always be people that will fly with us, only to have a real shock to discover that actually that wasn't the case.
Yes, and the amount of competition that's come about in the airline marketplace really has meant that they've got to get their act together. And I think to some degree, that's also been brought about by the conglomerate approach to airlines. The International Airline Group doesn't necessarily think about airlines as being brand and customer loyalty. They then look at them on the basis of return on investment, whereas British Airways has always looked at themselves as being British Airways and therefore, you know, we're proud to be British Airways. And I think there's an element there which is a disassociation within the financial keepers' minds. And that is a problem, I think, generally, because we have a lot of private equity companies now buying big brands, and they're only buying the brands basically for the return that they can get on them in the short, possibly to medium term, but mainly the short term. And that is not necessarily a good long-term strategy or indeed an ecological strategy. Correct. On the other hand, you wanted to talk about a company that has been going for a long time.
Yes, this landed this morning. Scrabble has, you know, the famous word game. We've most people have probably played it at some stage. Has launched a new version. And I thought this was absolutely fascinating, because what they've gone for is a... they've double-sided the board game. So they haven't gone, oh, this is Scrabble Lite, or this is Scrabble Junior, or which actually they have had in the past, or this is Scrabble Non-Competitive, or all the other ways they could have switched up the brand. They are releasing versions of boards with the traditional Scrabble game on one side and a different Scrabble game on the other that encourages you to team up and play together. It's collaborative. You complete goal cards. You can. There's a simpler scoring system. There are helper cards. It's a very, very different way of playing Scrabble. As I said, it landed into my inbox this morning. I haven't had a chance to have a look at it beyond a couple of online pictures. But it's a very interesting way of saying this is not what customers and our younger customers want. They want something where they can be more collaborative and less competitive. How do we do that? Do we launch a different brand? Do we change the product entirely? No, we'll go for a double-sided board game. So the traditionalists can play it one way, and the it's seen as the younger players, but it might just be the non-competitive players, can play it a different way. I thought this was a really interesting branding technique.
It's a very interesting evolution because, as you say, you've got either the traditionalists, the diehards, who would say, no, don't play around with it. If it's too hard, then you know you need to be better educated and go out and get a dictionary, yes, that sort of approach. Or it's a completely new game. And I think that the evolution shows a very nice way of thinking about a different marketplace. So, yes, it's a younger market. It's a collaborative market, possibly. Again, we might be thinking about issues that have came out of COVID. It's also a market that wants a game that is concluded in a shorter possible period of time. And it does talk about it's quicker to play. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is a very interesting approach to a different target audience who might have been attracted by the original game but would like something that's slightly different. There's nothing to stop you playing original Scrabble as a team, two people or more on either side. But this is a way of formalising it. And it's the goal cards that I find quite interesting. I don't know the full details of them yet because I haven't actually looked at this since this morning. But I think the way of adding something, evolving the game, is very, very sound because it builds on an existing marketplace and says, well, let's involve more people. And there has been a real boom in board games, you know, since, I don't know when, to be honest, but certainly last 5 years or so. Board games seem to be something that are now being brought by young people to house parties and whatever, and they sit around and play them. So I think it's a big boom market and one that goes against the grain of social media. And perhaps that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a break from the speed of social media.
It's also an encouragement to go out. And I mean, a lot of us have a Monopoly game that sits at the back of the cupboard. I think I was given mine age 10, so it sat there and occasionally it comes out. And Scrabble is also something you're either given as a child or you buy at once. This isn't actually an excuse to get people to go out and buy Scrabble again. So you can say, oh, we can either play Scrabble or we could do Scrabble together if you prefer. I'll just flip the board game over, the board over. So I think it's a really interesting way, again, of getting people to perhaps go out and repurchase. Predictably, I read it originally in The Guardian, which thought it was great because it was now new and inclusive. I also read the headline of the Daily Mail, which said that it was a typical woke-rati dumbing down the board game. I would recommend reading both and actually reading one after another. It was hilariously funny. But it's still, from a marketing perspective, I think it's really interesting.
I would actually recommend going and have a look at the game. Forget the newspapers. Both of them, quite frankly, are not really worth the paper that they're written on, or indeed the screen time that actually now they take. So I would suggest go and do your own research and have a look at it and make your own mind up.
Brilliant. Lovely to speak to you as ever, Charles.